Welcome to Lighting the Chalice, a podcast of Sunday sermons from the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Berks County. We hope you enjoy this little bit of weekly inspiration. If you live in or are visiting the Reading, Pennsylvania area, we hope you'll stop by and visit us on Sundays at 416 Franklin Street. To learn more about our open and welcoming congregation, please visit www.uuberks.org or search for us on Facebook. Now, here is Reverend Sandra Fees with her February 4th sermon, an introduction to this month's worship theme of perseverance.
One of my first jobs, in fact, it was my first job as a teenager, was as a salad girl at the Candle Glow restaurant. My job was to stock the salad bar in the kitchen with all the various side dishes, you know, coleslaw, red beets, applesauce. We're talking central Pennsylvania here. Lebanon County. And as orders would come in to the kitchen, I was also responsible for dishing up these side dishes, and the wait staff would pick them up and add them to their order. I was a conscientious and sensitive 15-year-old, and I worked hard and dutifully. And I'd worked there for a couple of months. When I came in for the dinner shift one night, only to find that the person before me had left without doing any restocking of that salad bar. So I worked my hardest, but I couldn't keep up with restocking and filling the orders at the same time, at the busiest time of the entire day. The woman in charge of the kitchen, she was in charge of the flow of the whole kitchen. She came and basically bawled me out. I was speechless. I didn't know how to defend myself. I was caught up in feeling how unfair it was, and I was embarrassed, too. Later, during my shift, I heard someone else telling her how hard I had worked and what a mess I had been left with when I had come in that night. And I heard her say something like, well, why didn't she just say something? And it's hard for me to explain exactly why, but something about her saying that bothered me as much as anything else that had come before. Something about how she shifted the responsibility back onto me. Well, I quit that job, and I never went back. I was so angry and so humiliated, and quitting was the easiest way out for me. At the time, it seemed to me it was the only way out. I was just so emotional about it. I soon got another job, and that was that. Maybe. I suspect, actually, that I would have benefited from sticking it out rather than running away partly in shame and partly in righteous indignation. I didn't stand up for myself. As it turned out, my next boss was just as bad, probably worse. And so I soon and sadly discovered I was going to have to find some ways to persevere if I was going to get along in my life, at least in having a job. Each of us, at some point, at many points, feels they cannot carry on. It is just too much, too hard, too overwhelming, or perhaps it may seem pointless to us sometimes. If we try, keep on trying, we might find ourselves feeling like Sisyphus. You remember Sisyphus, right? Pushing that rock up the hill, right? In the myth of Sisyphus, Sisyphus was rather rebellious. He gave the gods a pretty hard time, and they finally had enough. I mean, he really pushed them to their ultimate limits. And so that when they'd had enough, they decided not to kill him, but they did consign him for all eternity to push the rock up the hill, only to have it roll back down, and he would push it back up, never getting it back to the top. And that was his punishment. Never would he be able to get the rock to the top of the hill. Always he would have to start over, pushing the rock up the hill over and over and over and over and over and over again. Now this morning, I want to talk about the times when persevering, when pushing that rock up the hill over and over and over again is the best path forward, or perhaps the only path forward. And I want to say there are times, because I know someone's, you know, out there thinking this, there are times when we do need to quit. There are those times. If we can quit. There are times when persevering will feel like a punishment, but in fact is the very thing that we are being called to do. The very thing. How do we do that persevering when things seem so overwhelming or futile? This is one of the big questions we wrestle with, right? We all wrestle with this at some point or another. See, because even though I quit that job as a salad girl, as I told you, I encountered the same issues later on, and I was going to need to figure out how I was going to stand up for myself. And the other thing is, we don't always have the luxury of quitting. We just don't. And we and the world may lose out if we don't learn how to stay in and move forward on the things that matter most. So think for a minute about the value of trying to learn to play a musical instrument. And after years of what may seem like slow progress, having your first recital. Or think about playing on a sports team that never won the Super Bowl. And finally, seems poised to win. Or think about seeing one's tireless work to further democracy eroded by decades of gerrymandering and voting barriers. And then, right, then seeing the potential for a whole new redistricting. Now, I think most of us can call to mind many occasions when we have found ourselves pushing that rock up the hill, knowing or fearing we will never succeed, but also knowing or sensing that pushing that rock is exactly what needs to happen. Because we don't really know when we just might succeed. Writer and religious leader Joan Chittister says that our ability to be sustained through those feelings of weariness relies on having a goal or a passion worthy of unrewarded effort. She says we have to be in it for the long haul and not overdrive our souls. I love that phrase. Don't overdrive our souls. Perseverance, the long haul, can be best sustained when it is fueled by passion and self-care. That's what I understand not overdriving our souls to be. Self-care. Now, that story of the tortoise and the hare is a great story of what it means to be in it for the long haul. Whether the long haul is justice work, relationships, the spiritual life, getting an education, winning a marathon, or just life itself. That tortoise just keeps on going, just keeps doing what it does. But that means finding ways to sustain over time. Because guess what? Even that tortoise is eventually going to need to take a break. Even that tortoise is eventually going to need to eat or sleep or do something else besides be on that path in that race. That's part of being in the long haul. And, you know, the hare, like, took that nap, right? Well, I don't personally think that it was such a problem that the hare was taking a nap. Maybe the problem was that the hare was arrogant. Or maybe the problem was that the hare overslept. See, maybe it isn't sleeping that's the problem. Maybe it's just sleeping through what's important. So recently I got hooked on playing solitaire online. Any of you in that world with me? You're all going to go, nobody wants to admit it. I started this as, you know, just something to do as a break from intense periods of work. Just something to get recharged, something for just a little, something different for fun. Ironically, it has also become its own unexpected lesson in perseverance. Now, I had not played solitaire in years. And I soon discovered that solitaire is a lot harder than I remembered. And there are a lot of different versions of solitaire out there, which I had not been paying attention to. So I had a lot to learn in the process of doing this solitaire. I'm doing the daily challenge, and the daily challenge includes 5 different games. You know, I've sat there going, what's this? You know, I thought it was just the old version of solitaire, but no. So yesterday, I was playing one of the games, and it was the expert level, which when I see that there are different levels, one's easy, one's medium. But when it's expert, I always sort of sigh. I just know that this is going to be tough, right? I just couldn't complete it. I played that game, I have no idea how many times. I mean, just, some of you must have done this, right? After a while, it's like I'm just like madly just going at this game, you know, and like, I gotta win, you know, and then I just realized, you know, I've gotten to that point where I'm sort of just bleary-eyed and so determined that it's not going to go well. It's not happening at that point. I am so distracted by my own single-mindedness that I'm done, you know? And I've tried everything, right? Or I think I've tried everything. So I know. Here I am, I'm doing my game, right? That's a break from the intense work that I'm doing, right? And what do I need? I need a break from the break. You know? So, there it is, right? So sometimes I just have to wait a few days and go back to that game later. And, you know, in January I had a few that I never completed. And I didn't realize, because that was the first month, I didn't realize that I can't go back now to those. So I was like, oh, they're gone. They're done. I've just got to live with the fact that I couldn't complete those games. Which is probably okay, because now I've got February and I'm having trouble keeping up, right? So the thing is, playing solitaire isn't important, right? It's not that important. It's not life-saving or life-altering. Well, not exactly anyway. But it is teaching me some things about myself and the way my mind works and about my own levels of persistence and how I respond to failure. And there are some pretty helpful insights that are coming to me from this about other more critical areas of my life. Places where my willingness to persevere can have a life-altering impact. It helps me to see how to stay in it for the long haul, even when there are temporary setbacks and failures. Now, that long haul does mean having some resources to tap into. And what are those resources? Well, there are a lot of resources, and it depends on what we may need. But some of those resources are tea, meditation, prayer, having people in your life who love you, and also having people in your life who disagree with you and give you a hard time. It takes a connection to the divine and to our most cherished values. Maybe it takes breaking the rules sometimes. Solitaire doesn't really let you do that. It takes letting your heart be broken. It takes stumbling and being willing to get back up. It takes asking for help. It takes claiming your own voice. It takes mistakes and forgiveness and letting go of our ego. It takes a willingness to risk and a willingness to fail. It means loving the world even when the world isn't loving us back. It means finding moments of joy, catching a glimpse, even if it's just a glimpse, of an incredible super blue blood moon like the one this past week. Or it means holding a grandchild in your arms for the first time. It means breathing and trusting that breathing and taking a break is okay, because there will be someone else who will be there to pick up the work and someone to hold you in those times. Writer and novelist Barbara Kingsolver says, "In my own worst seasons, I've come back from the colorless world of despair by forcing myself to look hard for a long time at a single glorious thing, a flame of red geranium outside my bedroom window, and then another, my daughter in a yellow dress, and another, the perfect outline of a full dark sphere behind the crescent moon." Indeed, it takes looking at something beautiful for a long time. It takes refilling the well, our spiritual wells, by reading, immersing in nature, laughing, or creating art, whatever else it is that feeds your soul. All of these can keep us going when we find ourselves feeling lost or hopeless or unable to go forward. In fact, these are the very things that make it possible. Resilience, gratitude, faith, beauty can all fuel our ability to persevere. I want you just to consider this story told by Margaret Wheatley. There was a woman who was speaking to her 6-year-old niece, and it was the end of a really, really frustrating week for this woman. And she had spent most of that day trying to get a new printer installed. Those of you who have your technological, you know, concerns, you relate to this. And nothing had worked for her in trying to get this printer installed, and she was just exhausted and frustrated. And on the phone with her young niece, she described how frustrated she was, and her niece asked her, "Did you try hard?" The woman said, "Yes, yes, I tried hard." And her niece said, "Did you try really, really hard?" The woman said, "Yes, yes, I tried really, really hard." And the six-year-old said, "Well then, now it is time to go out and play." So friends, if you've been persevering at something, if you've tried really, really hard, maybe it is time to go out and play. Maybe it is time to take care of yourself. Find ways to fill your spiritual and emotional and physical well. Who knows what might arise if we were all to turn our attention? Isn't that part of what it means to be in it for the long haul, to be steadfast and persistent? Doesn't it also mean to take care of ourselves so we can be on that path? Whole new worlds might emerge, or at least a new way forward. Perhaps taking a breath or a break is exactly what is needed on the path to taking that one more step, praying that one more prayer, saying that one more word, or singing that one more song. I wish for each of you the passion and the soul care that it will take until every song is shared and there is peace for everyone. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this week on Lighting the Chalice. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of today's sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuburks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.